Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 288. I'm Josiah Sapp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, this week I'm going to mix it up just a little bit. I'm going to start off this week with bullet points. It's going to make a lot of sense in my weird world. But bullet points, first off, I want to hit what Jude, Bruce, and I did on last Thursday. It was fucking dope. We went to Los Angeles. Bruce lives in, oh my gosh, Encino now. Jude lives in Anaheim. I live in Anaheim. So I had to pick up Jude after work, and that was one of the things I had to do. And it was fucking dope. So I recorded Wednesday, last Wednesday, a week ago. Today is 3/11/2020. And it was fucking dope, guys. We went to a club. The club was named Club Bahia. And it's normally a Latin dance club. And that's what it normally is. We went to a burlesque show. I've never been to a burlesque show before. Always have been wanting to go. This particular burlesque show was based on the movies and works of Quentin Tarantino. I'm a huge movie guy. Jude's a huge movie guy. Like, we work at a movie fucking theater. Go figure. And Bruce is an actor. Like, Bruce, you're an actor still, technically, right? I mean, you can put it on your resume. And there's so many great conversations. And I'm going to try to brush through it as quick as I can. So the works based on Quentin Tarantino movies, so Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, From Dusk Till Dawn, Death Proof, Grindhouse, and True Romance was mixed in there. There were pole dancers, yes. There was a ring hanging from the ceiling, and some girls just doing acrobatic shit that is dope and gnarly. Fire breathers, dancers, there was a girl with a ball and chain from, like, the Crazy Eights. I forget homegirl's name, but with that chain ball, she busted it out, and she lit it on fire, and the tricks she was doing was fucking dope. It is burlesque, yes. Everyone's covered up, yes. Do we see titties, ass? No. Was it provocative? Fuck yes, it was provocative. It was erotic. It's a burlesque show. But the theme, each dancer, each performer, performed to their own certain scene from one of these movies, and they each did such a great job to the point where one of my coworkers, Kiona, is like, oh, you know, like, jerk off material. It's like, no, like, I appreciate, dude, I'm out of everyone. Like, I appreciate everything, art in every fucking form. And, I don't, like, it's great. Like, and I love Quentin Tarantino's work. I would highly recommend this. So Bruce hit us up initially that he asked his boys, hey, do you squares want to go with me? And they're like, nope, my wife won't let me out. And once Jude and I made it out there, it was awesome. We ate Burger King. We caught up as best we could. And as we're grubbing, Jude and I, because Bruce literally got done eating. So he's chilling with us. It's three friends that haven't hung out together in 2 years. And that's essentially what it was. And just hanging out. And the way Bruce is talking to me, like, I miss homeboy. I miss Jude hanging out with these guys in this way was just beautiful to have. And granted, on a school night, on a Thursday night, to go out there sucked. I mean, it sucked. The next day sucked more for me. But I will go into that. But Bruce, I miss you, dude. I do love you. Like I'm comfortable telling my friends I love you. The conversations we're having, he's talking about comics. He's like, I listened to your podcast last week. I'm like, I kind of mentioned you and Bruce a little bit, so I thought I'd tag you in this link. Bruce listened to the last week's podcast, and he's like, it was good. He's like, I just wanted to know the time stamp of when you mentioned me, and I was gonna stop listening and crash out. And he's like, the way you broke everything down, like your structure, like you put work into it. And it's flattering because he caught it. And I've been doing this for so long where, yes, I do have a structure to everything. There's a method to this madness that has been going on for seven, I'll say. But yeah, so to hang out with him, and he asked me a great question out of the blue. He's like, the last time I saw you and hung out, it was you, myself, and Marianne. We went to Outback right here by my house, and Outback Steakhouse, and he asked me something in particular, which is actually a huge lead up and the premise to this particular podcast. Again, Jude, Bruce, myself are huge movie guys. Had a great time with these guys. I miss them. To have this time with them in this atmosphere was dope. Again, Bruce originally reached out to us. These cats are square, and their wives won't let them out. And I read an article like Quentin Tarantino ended up going, and it was reported actually in the Hollywood Reporter and Variety magazine. And he's like, yeah, Quentin Tarantino went, and he's like, this is good. Like, I like it. Originally a Latin bar or a dance club, and which is not my scene. I mean, clubs just aren't my scene. And the fact that these, again, performers on every level. There was a woman that worked this giant, had to weigh at least 20, 30 pounds, a ginormous hula hoop, but thick as fuck. And she gets in it and she's spinning. And these tricks, these stunts, this performance she's putting on was unbelievable. Like, it was just beautiful, dope, rad awesome to see live and experience it. So, this particular thing they do, it's called Tarantina is the name of it. And it's awesome. And you get a vibe from everything. And if you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino, this show is worth taking someone you love, someone you care about. Like, yes, do it. Cause I'm making plans already. Cause the next show they're going to put out is going to be in April. And they're taking a break, but they've been putting it on like once a month or every other month. And the fact that it's getting so big and getting just packed, like it's jam packed, and everyone in there is legit fucking cool. Like, you know, these cats are fans. And even if you're a burlesque fan, like, granted, we paid $40 to get in, and it was completely worth it. I think I would have paid more, honestly, because it was just so great. And the only thing that sucked was the end of the night, like, not wanting to rush these guys out. I'm, like, looking at the time, I'm just like, these guys are having fun. And it turned into a club. The dancers and performers came out afterwards. And the dance floor was a dance floor again. And I didn't bother mingling. I didn't hang out. And I'm just watching my boys hang out, taking pictures and enjoying. Was dope. Like I was happy with that. Again, the time didn't matter to me. It's just as long as they had fun. So to catch up with these two guys in this atmosphere and for us to still nerd out on movies, on everything is dope. We ended up going even before the club opened. We were able to find parking, believe it or not, in LA that I didn't have to fucking pay for. And then we ended up walking a few blocks away. Doors opened at 8:15, so we had some time to kill. We literally walked to a bar. And it was almost swingers status the way we found this bar. Once we walked into this bar, which was called Thunderbolt. And I know you guys are probably thinking, oh, they went into a gay bar. No, it was just a hidden bar. And it was this beautiful little gem tucked away in some random fucking spot where I want to experience this whole night again. Like, I want to show people, like, dude, I told you it exists. Like, trip out on this. Bruce, thank you, man. I had a great time. I had a fantastic time with you and Jude. I just miss hanging you guys out in general. So we got to plan some more dinners and stuff like that. Next time the show happens, let's do it, man. I'm totally game. So Jude, had a blast with you as well. All right. This is still bullet points. This is going to be a long show. I thought I was going to wrap it up smooth with a bow tie, and this is going to be the opposite of that completely. Next piece of bullet point I'm going to hit is going to be Twitter got hit up on, at Comic Syndicate, at For the Villain got hit up. We got hit up by at SBP_comics. And the Twitter handle is Suspicious Behavior Productions. Hits me up, sends me some links or some pages. Hi, would it be possible to email you review copies of Invasion from Planet Russeltopia? When a disgruntled, and he gives me a synopsis in the tweet, which is dope. When a disgruntled pro wrestler declares himself galactic champ of the universe, a planet of alien wrestlers views it as an act of war. Published by Starburn Industries Press. Okay, this was dope. These are one of those things where I really need to start doing again. And let me go to the next one, because I also got hit up on Instagram. This one is at The Saturn Effect. Hey, I recently released a webcomic and wanted to see if you were interested in taking a look. The link is in my bio. Thanks for your time. Both of these happened this past week, and looking at both of them, and just want to get back down to the basics and roots of the comic syndicate. You know, I want to help support indie work more and artists more and writers more. So I'm going to find time to go through these series and sets that they send me PDF files for. And I want to review them. And you know what? They deserve a listen and some love. Technically, I'm an indie podcaster. I mean, trip out on this. I've been doing this for 7 fucking years. And you see an actor finally jumping on the podcast wagon. And it's like, well, yeah, motherfucker, you have a built-in audience already. So it's there. Like, you didn't have to fucking work for it, you know? Type of deal. Does that aggravate me? No. It's just like, fucking hey, dude. Like, now when we started compared to how many podcasts are out in the world now that can get lost in the ether, which technically I'm probably lost in the ether as well. But to get back down to the basics of the comic syndicate, why we started and the rules we gave ourselves was never sell out, always be ourselves. No politics, no religion, which I do that on deep dives and rabbit holes. So if you're not going to get that talk from me here necessarily, but you're going to get real talk. Like, there was no way, oh yeah, just don't be fake, you know, always be ourselves was a huge point. And Adam, I miss him. I love him and I miss him. I'm not going to badmouth you in the next part and pieces of these. You probably think I'm going to be bashing you, but it's not a thing. I'm going to give you some more love right now in a weird way. So if you like the podcast so far, find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm SimpleMan80, I think, on Snapchat. But I don't Snapchat a lot, unless I'm at a convention. All right. Since I did say I was going to start off differently, mix and match type of deal. Now I'm going to talk about what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. May 22nd, 2017. 100 episodes ago normally constitutes to 2 years. I took a 5-month break. So the dates and times that I see these things and the way they pop up make sense once I see them. And once I saw the title of this, I'm like, that's going into the same time for this. And it's going to make sense, but bear with me, guys. It's going to be a long show. Episode 188, we entitled hashtag Fell on Black Days. At Mem the Beaner, let's at For the Villain vent, then hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Hit Twitter, love, and shout outs. Okay, so we recorded this May 22nd, 2017. That wasn't the issue. The issue was Chris Cornell literally passed away 4 days before that, on May 18th, 2017. I was bummed out about this one in particular, so that's why Adam was able to let me vent. It was totally, completely off the cuff how I took control of the show in a weird way. Like, I was telling him a story, and I don't know what compelled me to tell this story and to let so many people in on some personal stuff that I was going through a long time ago, but just appreciating, like, Chris Cornell, and, like, I love his music, and he helped me out through some very dark places and dark times I was at. So to be able to vent about that and talk about it in a weird way, like, I don't like feeling or being vulnerable, and I know I set myself up. I was completely vulnerable in the oddest way, and it was not the Comic Syndicate. Like, it's wasn't something that was planned. It was not, I don't know what it was. I lost a kid a long time ago with a girlfriend at the time a long time ago. And I was, look, I'm not going to go through it. If you guys are curious what happened, go back to episode 188, Fell on Black Days. And this one was really weird because we stopped recording at the end of the night. And Adam asked me, are you okay? And I think I had my arms crossed and I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm good. And he's like, how do you feel? Like, do you want to put this out? And it fucking went through my head finally afterwards. Like, shit, I sound like a little bitch. I sound like a pussy. Like, I sound like I know the place I was at when I was talking, and it was complete vulnerability. So I'm like, you know what? We put in work. Shit. You know what? Fuck it. No one's going to listen. That's just, yeah, put it out. Fuck it. I don't care. A story that I honestly hadn't told a lot of people by that point in my life. So for so many people to hear it, that podcast in particular, for some reason, got some great, weird, and interesting feedback, and was completely overwhelming for me. Like, we're getting hit up by people out of the blue, like, this is not the route you guys normally go, but this was really good. And, like, for not being heavy on comics, this one, you did a good job. And thank you. You know, I got those, which was weird. And then to get even more stories, like, people start opening up and everyone felt comfortable now to start talking. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but can I share my story? And that just turned into this overwhelming feeling like, shit, it's okay to hurt, you know? So for people to just pile it on, and for me to read so many stories from a lot of fucking people, a lot of personal stuff, was beautiful. You know, it was completely overwhelming because I got to hear all these stories, and it was heartbreaking. Like, it was a heartbreaking month and a half for me. We record every week, and for a month and a half solid, honestly, was people hitting me up and giving me stories and, like, thank you. Like, and that's the weird thing. So to pull off something like that out of the blue, was hard for me to do. And, to know that it made a difference, it had an impact, it made an impact on people in a good way, where people felt okay to talk about these dark places they were. Again, completely overwhelming and emotionally overwhelming for me. But, and a lot of them I couldn't read for a shout out because it's like, this is too personal. This story belongs to you. Like, I shouldn't be the one sharing it on air. So that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Now, the interesting thing about that story, the way I work, Bruce, you did mention, dude, yes, I write everything out. That's just me. Like, I need to physically do things, and I need to I'm well prepared. So once I saw what was coming up around the corner, I knew I couldn't record any deep dives and rabbit holes. I couldn't throw any of the structure off of what it was. It was, in a weird way, a preparation for tonight's podcast. And I don't know if I'm going to hit comic news. Like I don't think I'm going to, because I know... Okay, so recorded episode 188, May 22nd, 2017. By the time I took a year, actually a year, 5 months off, it throws my dates off a little bit. Today is March 11th, 2020. My older brother, Jonathan, tomorrow, 3/12/2020, is going to be our first year without him. He passed away a year ago, stage 4 lung cancer, and it's been a rough year, like it has. And looking at Fallen Black Days, and then, okay, by the time that comes out, is going to be 3/11, it's like, this is weird. It's a weird serendipity that, okay, well, two emotional things 100 episodes apart happened, and it happened to land on around the same time. Like, tomorrow, you're not going to get any commercials from it. Like, I'm going to tag my brother, I'm going to tag my family in pictures on Facebook, on Instagram, not Twitter, but I'm going to share the love. And that's, in a weird way, what I'm attempting to do right now is this weird, odd love letter to my brother. We were not the best of friends as adults. Best friends younger into our mid-lives. As we got older, we were two alpha males. And two alpha males should never get put in the same room. I'm his younger brother, and he made me strong, like he really did, and I learned a lot from fucking homeboy, and we buried the hatchet at the end, but I learned a lot from him, and every day I think about him, and a song comes up, or something comes up, and something, I feel him. And there was a time earlier this year where I was just overwhelmed by everything. Not fine. It was just a lot of weight to do, to work, to do everything. And I was crashed out here at the house one day, and I felt something behind me. And I do pray. I know I said Comic Syndicate doesn't talk. Well, Josias does talk about religion, though. So, just going through shit, and, I felt something behind me. I felt a presence, and granted, I had to go to work early. It was like 2 o'clock, and I swear it was him. Like an okay, like an I have your back, and, didn't feel scared, didn't feel worried. And once I turned around, and I literally was not asleep, I wasn't waking up, I was awake already, I turned around like, Jonathan, and I know he's at my back. And it's been a weird year for all of us, for the family. We're all free to grieve in our own way, as long as we don't hurt anyone. And we shouldn't hurt ourselves either. I was in a bad place a long time ago, and the things I was doing to myself, when everything went down, like, I felt alone, and we have a great family, like, we all bump heads, just like every family bumps heads, but we're really good, we're really strong together, so to have issues with certain members of the family, and to have this happen and to bring us closer together. Like, I love you. Don't forget I love you. And like, you know what? It was bullshit. I still don't like what you did, but I got your fucking back, kid. Like, those things were a lot tighter. I had to hit up the family in our group text, like, hey, dude, what are you guys doing? Let's get together on this date. And everyone was kind of surprised, like, why this random date? And yet everyone was so aware of, like, why do you want to get together for dinner? And I'm like, well, I figured tomorrow's the day, or he passed, so let's get together. Like, we shouldn't be by ourselves. Like, let's hang out with each other and let's do this family thing. And let me give you guys a hug and let me tell you guys I love you. You know, it's one of those things people take for granted sometimes. And so that's what it is. I knew this was going to go long. So my family, Moses, Ray, Leah, Donna, my mom, my dad. There's no way my dad listens to the podcast. My mom, of course, not. My nieces, my nephews, Marissa, Natalia, Jacob, Crystalyn, baby girl, Christopher. I love you guys, and we're so much better. We're so much stronger together. Don't forget that. And I don't know how to write anything or do anything proper, so I'm just going to tell you a story. And this is another weird thing, too. The first thing I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to review? Because it's the Comic Syndicate. And the first thing that hit my head was, like, I know what to hit. And once I realized, again, weird serendipity thing off the top of my head. Like, I've read and reviewed for harsh moments, emotional, familial, losing family moments, you know, like Fantastic Four or even Batman and Robin, the silent issue, which is beautiful to check out. This one in particular happened to be on the Fell on Black Days as well. And I'm like, I get to revisit this. And this is me revisiting an old review from 100 episodes ago. Nightwing number 21. This one dropped in 2016. This one's called Split Second. Michael McMillan is the writer. Christian Deuce is the artist. And Chris Sotomayor is the colorist. Starts off with an inner monologue. When you've been in the crime-fighting business as long as I have, you learn that the time of day affects cities in different ways. This is Nightwing. In Metropolis, crime always seems to happen at high noon, and then we see a panel of Superman going to work. In Gotham, evil has a habit of striking at midnight. We see a panel of Batman going to work. Here in Bloodhaven, twilight is the witching hour, as we get a scream off panel. Yep. Right on cue. As we see a man now attack a woman. She's distraught. Help! Somebody help me! As Nightwing shows up to lend a hand. I told you to stay quiet. This city is full of ghosts. You want to be the next one? Nightwing. I wouldn't be afraid of ghosts. As he disarms the man with one of his Eskrima sticks. It's the birds you need to worry about. As both the writer and artist really display some how smooth Nightwing is, like using his sticks, bouncing off walls, and still hitting his target. And goes on. We see how smooth Nightwing is. As we see him assess the situation and also get a key characteristic about this man. Judging from speed and that right hook, I'm guessing former boxer. Don't tell me you lost all your money, my guess, to the mob, but you still want to show what a man you are by picking on a helpless woman. So if Batman's the best detective ever, this is the first Robin that finally grew up and became a man, and he wanted and needed to get out of Batman's shadow. And it continues on as the scene builds up now with a turn. and the woman goes for her purse, not helpless, just caught off guard. As the woman now goes, picks up the man's gun, actually. Nightwing's like, ma'am, please, you don't want to shoot this guy. He's not worth it. The woman, do you want to take a bet? As the panel reads, blam. That's all you get out of the panel. As his inner monologue kicks in again, it all happens so fast. I dive to take the bullet, but it isn't like jumping from a swinging trapeze. As we visually see this gnarly panel go down, slow motion almost, I know as soon as I leap that I won't make it. As we now get a panel of the bullet in motion with a blue lightning bolt around it. Hey, buddy, Rough Knight, as the Flash is now holding the bullet in his fingertips. And the story continues on. It goes until later that night. Nightwing hanging out with his friend. It's good to see you, Wally. If you hadn't shown up when you did, they'd be taking this guy away in a body bag. Even if he is a crook, he didn't deserve to be executed. And the victim didn't deserve to become a murderer. I wasn't fast enough. And Flash answers. Don't beat yourself up, Dick. We can't all be dimensionally displaced speedsters. You've got heart. That's what counts. Nightwing's like, no, I was cocky and too slow. As the panels are just awesome. Not just because these are best friends hanging out that moment. But the panels are of Wally flashing back and forth all around Nightwing as he's having this conversation. Like homeboy can't stop. And it's a joke. So not being able to stay still, you know, being able to talk to his boy. Flash and Wally, or Flash says, we're teammates. You drop the ball, I pick it up, and vice versa. That's how we win, right? Nightwing, I appreciate the save, Wally. I really do. Hey, what the hell are you doing in Bloodhaven anyway? Flash answers, now that I have my life back, I'm learning there's not much to it. I mean, I have Barry, but he's always running off doing something. Linda is a non-starter. I need a friend, Dick. And you're the best one a guy could ask for. Nightwing answers, crazy idea. Let's skip patrol for a few hours and have a guy's night out. And that's what they do. They go to a bar and it's just fucking hysterical. Like, they don't party at all. They go to a bar. And they know they always have to be on their A game. So they order like club sodas and lime. And even like they're little bitches straight up. And it's cute to see. They know they can't get tore up. And even as Dick's inner monologue starts again. I forgot how much I enjoy hanging out with Wally. Well, I mean, I forgot Wally. But since he's been back, I've had no time outside my crazy life to do it. As we see these two studs drinking their little bitch drinks. But finally get in play now, with two girls now hitting them up. Completely interested in these two studs. But they have this great friend moment, bonding time. And about relationships, talking about love and life. That they completely leave these girls hanging. And it's kind of adorable. Have you ever had a partner in crime in life like that, where you can just shoot the shit and catch up like that? I miss Bruce and Jude. I miss Pablo. I miss Mikey. I miss Chris. I miss the whole Pacheco family. Those guys were there for me. Pablo, I love. Val, Phil. Like, there's a handful of people that I miss in my life. I gave up a lot of people in my life, and I realized it wasn't just a handful. It's like two handfuls of people, like no more than 10 people probably, that I would take a bullet for and do anything for friend-wise. So these cats are studs, but like complete studs. They're fucking superheroes that just want to hang out outside of work, outside of their suits, and just not be working. And I love it because Dick gets cocky and ballsy now. I know the city inside and out. Let's do something. And I love the write in this, as next page is one lame movie later. And it's just funny. As they walk out, Nell bitching about how shitty the movie was. Okay, that sucked. And they go on just talking shit about the movie, which is what Bruce, Jude, and I did. And then they both hear a scream now, realizing what's going on. People's purses, wallets, cell phones, jewelry are gone, missing. Wally's own wallet, Dick's watch, where he's like, damn it, Bruce gave me that watch. What the fuck's going on? As they both know, it's time to clock back in. So now we see them in panels where they're both suited up now, going to work. Where we see Wally tap into the Speed Force to find this odd sort of glitch. Not of someone being able to necessarily speed through time, but someone that can freeze it somehow, or skip it, I guess. So as they track down and do their detective work, they finally come across this man that's behind the thefts. Flash is able to snatch the bag full of all the stolen items as Nightwing tries to subdue the guy. But Nightwing, as much as he tries, nothing is working trying to fight this guy. Missed me. Too slow. As he fucks up Nightwing. Once Flash sees this, he gets upset and goes back to back up his boy. And gets the same treatment. The Flash, though, as fast as he is, can't even touch this guy. And he gets his ass kicked, too. But where they catch up with this villain happens to be at a certain train stop. So he's able to rock Flash and literally pushes him out on the train tracks as he freezes time around Wally right there. And Nightwing says, and he's trapped in this. Actually, no, he's able to make it out. He just gets his ass kicked. Listen to me. That's alien technology. Again, assessing the situation. I don't know where you got it, but you have no idea what you're toying with. Sure I do. It's been fun. Hear that? The midnight train is arriving right on time. Too bad your friend is going to catch it early. As Nightwing wants to do something and needs to do something. As he's trying to figure things out as his inner monologue goes off again. There's nothing I can do. As he sees his friend there, frozen in time. I can't dive into that energy field without being stuck in time like Wally. And yet, Time Bomb, this villain, is able to physically manipulate his victims while paused. If I leap into the time bubble with enough force, there is a way I could push Wally free. Quit overthinking, Dick. There's no time. Wally took a bullet for me. Time to return the favor. Thanks for a wild night, buddy, as Nightwing finally jumps. Thanks for being my friend. As he's able to jump and nudge his boy out of the way. So, pushes Flash out. And now he's stuck in this time bubble. And we see this blue lightning again. Flash answers, are you nuts? You could have been killed. Nightwing answers, hey, you dropped the ball, and I pick it up. That's what you said, right? Yeah, it just feels good. It just feels good. That's all I can say. You know what? Whoever thinks comics are for fucking kids is a fucking idiot. They're strong stories. To make characters relatable, villains, heroes, relatable in some sense, is a beautiful thing. And to feel vulnerable, honestly, isn't a bad fucking thing. I'm 39, the older I get, the more I've realized and experienced a lot of things. And to be so simple in my ways, it's okay to have the simple things in life. And to be vulnerable, and it's okay to hurt. And you know what? Honestly, as I'm getting older, I know it's okay to cry. We grew up in a weird mentality where this total machismo bullshit, and you're a pussy if you cry. And I don't feel that way at all. If you guys disagree with me, hit me up at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Apple Pod, and wherever you guys can find the podcast. Share the podcast more than anything. Jonathan, you're my boy. I have your back. I always did. I really did, dude. This is just my love letter to you, dude. We love you, we miss you, man, and we still feel you. All right. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.